Praise the Father. Well, I'm here this afternoon to just share my relationship that I have with the Father, as well as everybody else. So maybe we can all connect because it's the same spirit. We should all be on the same page. And it's amazing how me and Brother Herman was talking a while back, and he was supposed to speak on a certain night, and I was supposed to speak on a certain night. And we both talked about going through process. And he goes, yeah. He says, that's what I'm going to be talking about, going through the process. It's just lined right up, going through the process. Going through the process. When you have a relationship, true relationship with the Father, you get processed. You go through trials, you go through some things. And it's not like the Father does things to hurt us or harm us, but because He loves us. He loves us and He wants to see us in His character, His likeness, eternal life. Because sin, remember, sin brings death. Sin brings trouble. Sin brings chaos and destruction. And the wicked is of a rebellious part of all of that. And so, anyways, I just... And you know, it's pretty ironic how the Torah portion just lines up with going through the process in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the discipline of a father and a son. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And when you read Hebrews chapter 12, Sister Marlena brought this up in the Torah portion the other night. It starts off, it says, therefore. Therefore is always referring to what was talked about before. Correct? So whatever it said in Hebrews chapter 11 is what it's referring to. Therefore. So when you go back and read chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about all the people that were before us that were faithful. Faithful to Elohim. You know, faith builds trust in a relationship. Faith, being faithful, builds trust in a relationship. If you can't be faithful to one another, it's hard to trust one another, you know. There's a couple times when my daughter Casey, she come up with a couple little hiding things or lies and not telling the truth a couple times. And so after a while, she started saying that she did or didn't do something that was hard to trust. Because you lie. I don't know if you tell me the truth or not. Did you really have that many candies? Or did you have none at all? Because that's where it could start, with a little candy, right? Just with a little, it's not really that bad. Or I'll just make one mistake. That's all right, I'll do it again. After a while, you can't be trusted. So that's what being faithful produces, is a trust. And so all these is talking about, if you're reading chapter 11, I'm not going to read it tonight. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Sin clings very closely. I don't know about you, but in my race, or my relationship with the Father, I could tell when I'm not in His presence, when I'm not worshiping and reading and keeping my full daily relationship with Him, because when you start veering off and not paying attention and paying attention more to other things than Him, sin's right there on your shoulder. It clings very closely. He even said that about Cain. He said, Cain, sin lies at the door. It's right there. Be careful. Pay attention. Cling to my word, not the sins that easily takes you. And so, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we got sin, and we got a race, right? The sin is right there, but I also have the race. So if we stay in the race with the relationship, the sin won't beset us and mess with us. We'll keep it out of the way, right? That's what we want to do. We want to keep it out of the way. Look into Yeshua, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Prime example. Had all those, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great... cloud of witnesses, that was them and Yeshua, the main one. Consider Him who endured. Well, let me back up a little bit. Looking to Yeshua, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly his discipline, nor be weary when reproved by him, for Yahweh disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. And that word endure, I was talking to my wife the other day, and we talked about it in the Torah portion. The word endure, if you look up the word endure, is to bear, suffer, to abide, to tolerate, and to stand. It means to put up with something trying or painful. To bear usually implies the power to sustain without flinching or breaking. Even being forced to bear a tragic loss. Suffer often suggests acceptance or passivity rather than courage or patience in bearing. Suffering many insults. Endure implies continuing firm or resolute through trials and difficulties, even enduring years of rejection. Abide suggests acceptance without resistance or protest. Tolerate suggests overcoming or successfully controlling an impulse to resist. Impulse, think about it. The flesh that so easily besets us, things that we like, things that we want, and we don't get our way, and it burns with a passion on the inside of us. And it's the very thing that separates us from Yahweh. It's the very thing that Yeshua conquered. Is not letting himself be in control. He wants to control, the flesh wants to be in control of everything. And it's never satisfied. It never has enough. I can go to the restaurant tonight and I can eat the most delicious seafood baked potato and sit back and do this. And then the next day, it's going to be like I ain't ever had one. Man, I need one of those. Never satisfied. Crawfish comes every year. We always have crawfish. We never satisfied. We eat till we're so full. The next day, I need more. You're never satisfied, right? It's with everything else. You watch a movie, you want another one. Watch a movie, you want to watch another one. And this one now, you can't stop. It never stops. It's never satisfied. But with Yahweh, satisfied. You're always thinking about. I don't know if y'all notice it, but in my relationship here lately with the Father, when I go ahead and tolerate, when I go ahead and endure, and I just put up with, and I say, okay, I'm okay with that. It produces like a relaxation. Like I got peace. I can relax. I'm at rest. I can rest in this. But I could tell when I get off, you know, when that anxiety stuff starts coming up. Oh, I'm late. I got to hurry. Before you know it, your heart starts pounding. Father really doesn't want us to be doing that kind of stuff, right? So that's how it goes. And so you learn as you grow. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But endure. My son, do not regard lightly his discipline, nor be weary when reproved by him. For Yahweh disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Yahweh is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you back up in the Torah and the prophets, go look in Proverbs chapter 5, 1 through 23, it says, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, the grave. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her." Remember the tree? Don't go near it. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't listen to it. It's the same thing with everything else. The very thing you know you're prone to mess up in, if you know it's going to bring its attention to you by looking, by listening, or attending, or being around, don't go near it, because once you're there, you're in. You're trapped. Pastor talked about that one time before. He said, once you go ahead and look, you're in trouble already. You're done. Once you cross the line and look, you don't let it go into your mind, and you're going to be all attracted to it. You got to have it. I mean, think about the food. It's one thing to think about it, but then it's set in front of you. You can smell it. And well, you can't deny it. You're about to tear that stuff up. It's right there. You're done. You're in trouble. That ice cream, whatever it is, you love so much. So whatever that sinful thing is in the sinful nature, you know is not right, and you go hanging around and just start diddle-daddling with it, ain't long. Once you look, once you listen, once you touch, you done. He done got you, because the enemy is very deceptive and clever in his schemes. So it reminds me of the garden experience all over again. "O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep you away from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless." It drains you. Sin drains you. It empties you. It grieves you. It brings you so much trouble and heartache. And especially those who have a relationship with the Father. I can attest to that. When I made the mistake, my heart get so grieved. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to be around anything. I got my head down. It seems like it's forever to get back. I don't know if anybody else could relate to that. It just seems like it's forever to get back. Will I make it back this time? Will you have mercy on me? Because you have mercy upon whom you choose to have mercy. The thing that I said, the thing that I did, or what I participated in, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh man, will you forgive me for this? I wouldn't forgive me for this. I've done this a million times. I can't believe you put up with me. I can't believe you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And it goes and it stays for a while. But then you can feel that peace when it comes. And you're like, oh, thank you, Father. And then you're thanking him for his mercy. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you just keep honoring him and thanking him that he let you get back right on track where you was. Let alone what we talked about in the Torah portion about Esau. You know, getting to a point to where, you know, how many sorrows are going to do? All right, just go ahead. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Just go ahead on your own. You want to do that? Then go ahead and do that. Just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Go ahead. And then give yourself over to, like Brother Herman said, your mind. Your mind will snare you and trap you. It says, "Lest you give your honor to others and your years to merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern," because not let alone are you the one that got yourself in some trouble. You just hurt the rest of the body that you're associated with, because we are the body of Messiah, right? I just hurt my wife. I just hurt Kimberly. I just hurt Mariana. I just hurt my pastors. I hurt a lot of people when I participated and I did those things. I did that to everybody. I left everybody else prone and open to the lies of the enemy rather than me being in the right spot and not doing that. I could be saying, Father, thank you for covering my brothers and my sisters. But I'm participating in a sin. I just opened up a door for the enemy to come on in with something. I'm leaving my brothers and my sisters open, not only myself. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. It all goes and points to a relationship, the relationship. It's a relationship in marriage, a relationship. And rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times and with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his own sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Right? He lets you go, and you get led astray, and you're caught in the cords of your own sin. So it's in there as well as in Hebrews if you back up and go look in Proverbs about discipline. But still keep in mind, our subject is going through the process. And about a week ago, I was on my way to town. And on my way to town, I'm always listening to a Torah portion. I'm always listening to one of Pastor's messages, or Brother Herman, or whoever spoke on that night, Brother Josh. I just pull something up, whatever Holy Spirit tells me. And on my way to town, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to listen to? What can I listen to? I got so many things I could listen to. I could worship. I could listen to Torah again. I could listen to that. And it's like an audible voice that said, Job. And a couple of times a year, I'm very inspired by Job. And I'm even more inspired today because of the words of Job. Because God did say, Elohim said his words. His words. Right? About his words. Not the other ones. I don't want to listen to those. I want to listen to his words. He was pleased with Job's words. He wasn't pleased with his friend's words. So I listened to the whole book. And I listened to it again the other day. I listened to it again this morning. And when you're sitting there and you start in chapter 1 and just listen to the details. I skip over every time Eliphaz and all these other guys are talking. I don't want to hear their stuff. I get tired of hearing them. I skip over and listen to Job. I skip over and listen to Job. And I went all the way through verse 23 of what Job's speaking. And you pick up all these details, all these little things. So incredible that tonight I want to read a bunch of this. We really need to read a bunch of this. For Job trusted Yahweh through the process. For Yahweh to say, this man said right about me, we need to really pay attention to what he said. Remember about the great cloud of witnesses that was set before us? Well, this guy is one of those people. Because when you're reading in the book of Job, you get to a spot where Job's like, oh, I wish that my words was inscribed in a book or even inscribed on stone. And I sit back and I say, Job, your words are. His words are pleasing to the Father, and the Father wrote it in the book. And it's there, and it's pure, and it's set forever. It's there. It's his words that come from the Father, and it's pure. He said, he said right about me. I said, boy, Job, he's in the grave right now sleeping before. If he only knew that his words are being continually carried out to this day. Because he said right about the Father. So we need to pay attention to that. Go back and read. What did he say that was right? We got to hear these things. The relationship between Yahweh and Job, like a son and a father through the process. Every detail in the book of Job speaks volumes of how we should speak to the Father or how we could speak to the Father. What he is like, what he dislikes, what he listens to, and what he closes his ears to. punishment and reward. And remember, there's two sides of godly men here. There's one guy, one side of godly men who's a godly man that speaks right about God, and the other one speak wrong about God. So there's a lot to draw from the book of Job. So we're going to open it up and just read until I'm said to stop reading. But I can't help myself. I got to read the details of this. And so we're going to start off in the book of Job, starting with chapter 1. And you got to remember, going through the process. Going through the process. And it relates to your life. When you're at home, wherever you are, whatever you're struggling with, when you could break through it, it'll bring your relationship, intimacy with the Father. That's what it's all about. Going through the process to draw us close to the Father. And you relax, and you'll never be troubled by whatever it is that hinders you, bothers you, what troubles you, what you go through, whatever it is. I assure you, you'll be at peace, just like Yeshua was at joy, because he listened and did what the Father said. Okay, Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared Elohim and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted. When you read that now, you pick up on something, don't you? The word feast. So now we know where that word comes from. Before I knew anything about the feast days, I passed over that thinking it was a meal. I didn't think of anything about a feast day. Now I got a clearer picture of what they're doing here. Right? This is in Hebrew. His sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about. When I read feasting, they're doing what's right, right? When I hear feasting, they're doing what's right. Well, gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. No harm done. He's praying for his kids. He's covering them continually. He's feasting as well. It says so. Now there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Satan came along with them. And Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears Elohim and eschews evil? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, do it, Job, fear Elohim for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Yahweh said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of Elohim is fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I and only am escaped alone to tell thee. Every time I read this story, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands, fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am escaped alone to tell thee." And Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. He said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Yahweh has given and has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged Elohim foolishly. Now, after I read that this morning, I said to myself, if somebody today went through what he just went through, they'd find 10 stinking people to blame for what just happened and try and find something else and backslide on God and go back home. And this man charged God with nothing. He lost everything, all his stuff, his children, everything. And today, our children get a sickness, they want to curse God. It's ridiculous. And again, there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. And you know, stopping right there, I thought about this morning. But truly blessed these past 2 months in the business and fishing. I've never had this many trips in the 10 years that I've been fishing. And I read this story, and I'm on my way to work. I said, you know, this is a blessing to have this right now. But Chad, I said to myself, Chad, what if all of a sudden you lost all this and you didn't have nothing for 6 months? How would you respond? How would you react? Think about Job, because it's quite possible. Look what he did with Job. What makes us think that we get to escape or have a free pass of things? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea. We don't know. We don't have a clue. We don't know who in this room is going to be alive tomorrow. So we've got to give him the glory and the honor and learn whatever we're going through. It might be great right now. It might be getting everything we want, but I assure you, always be prepared for around the corner. It may not be like that the next day. And I can assure you, it's to get us closer to the Father. Remember, being faithful in a relationship builds trust. And so if it destroys you, whatever it is you hold to, you must have not been holding to the Father. You must have been holding to that more than him. And he's a jealous God and is going to find us out. Whatever we cling closer to more than him, it will find us out, especially if we want him and love him and are asking him to be the sole provider for our lives, right? So again, there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered Yahweh and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And Yahweh said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears Elohim and escheweth evil? And still he holds fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And Yahweh said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of Yahweh and smote Job with sore balls from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse Elohim and die." Brother Scott talked about that on Sunday. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of a foolish woman speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of Elohim? And shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard all of this evil that was come upon him, they came, every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and they wept. Couldn't hardly recognize him, he was so bad. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. Job didn't look too good. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. And none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. It was 7 days. And after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spoke and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which I was, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let Allah regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the breath when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then I had been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth which build desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from the master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and who hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And you know why Yahweh doesn't take him out. It's for his own good. It's to get the relationship close and show that he could trust and be faithful. And had he not done that, the story would never have been written in the book. So the story is written in the book because he did that. He stayed faithful. He trusted in the Father. And the Father put everything on it. He said, all right, you go ahead. You hit him with it, skin for skin. And he didn't. He didn't say it. Verse 6. But Job answered and said, after, I'm not going to talk about these other guys here. They got a lot to say. But Job's reply in chapter 6. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, and the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of Elohim do set themselves in array against me. Do the wild donkey bray when he hath grass, or lower the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat, Oh, that I might have my request, and that Elohim will grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please Elohim to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brothers have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Temah looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance? And it just goes on and on and on, talking about his friends, what they had to say. In chapter 10, Job's plea. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto Elohim, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou should oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thy hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or see? Let me read it from the ESV. I have to read it from here. All right, Job chapter 10. Verse 4. Have you eyes of flesh? Do you see as a man sees? Are your days as the days of man, or your years as a man's years, that you seek out my iniquity and search for my sin, although you know that I am not guilty? He was honest. He said that, right? And there is none to deliver out of your hand. I'm at your mercy. Your hands fashioned and made me, and now you have destroyed me altogether. Remember that you have made me like clay, and you will return me to the dust. Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? He's having a conversation with the Father, right? You clothed me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. Yet these things you hid in your heart, I know that this was your purpose. You think about your life sometimes. Think about your life when you think about Job's. If that happened with Job, that Job said, yet these things you hid in your heart, I know that this was your purpose. I think about things in my life, I'm like, Father, you know, I was only a couple of months old. My biological father died. I said, you saw that before it happened. What are you doing? What's going on? And it's been 20 years since I've talked to, you know, my relations, my uncles, because they were Jehovah's Witnesses. We had nothing to do with each other. And now here we are 20 years later. I get a phone call from them saying my grandmother died, and they're doing the what they call it, the services today's Saturday? Yeah, today's Saturday at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, I got a trip. I got to work. I got to go here. So I call them and I talk to them. And so I got in a conversation for the first time. And we was able to touch bases. Because before, we were in the Trinity. We were in Christmas. We were in Easter. We were in all these things that they had no doing because they knew it was paganism. And so we always looked at them as the bad, don't know, understand. We got it right. They got it wrong. But now we had a great conversation yesterday. We got to talk about all the things that I've been learning, all the truths about paganism, all the truths about all these false doctrines. And his words to me was, Chad, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing that. Whatever you're doing, keep doing that, because that's the truth. What are you doing? I said, all I know is that we just ask God if we're participating in something that's not right, and if it's wrong and we're not seeing it, we're asking you to show it to us. And we put it on the side, whether it was right or wrong, and we put it on the side, and all of a sudden our eyes are open to things that God dislikes. And we had to discard those things. And he said, well, you keep doing that. Keep doing that. That's right. He said, do you believe this and do you believe that? So you don't believe you go to heaven, right? I said, no, sir. We don't believe we go to heaven. Because it says this and it says that. He goes, you're right. You're right. We believe that too. And so we were able to touch bases and talk. He said, hey, we got to get together. We hadn't seen each other and talked to each other in 20 years. We live over here. You live over there. We need to get together. We need to talk. Relationships starting to build. Truths are coming out. And I know there'll be more things that we may or may not disagree on. But with prayer and asking the Father for things to come off of all of us, it's going to happen. And that's where my faith stands. Right? So I was asking the Father those questions. I'm like, all right, I never got to know my dad. Here I am. I come to Faith Temple Ministries. You reveal yourself to me. I fall in love with you. I don't get to talk to that family because we're against each other. And here we are 20 years later, we all come together. I'm like, who knows? He had this plan maybe all set all along. I have no idea. Everybody's got their story. Everybody's got their talk with the Father, right? So when I read about Job, I ask the same questions. I'm like, hey, you knew all this stuff before I ever got here. And that's what Job basically says. He says, yet these things you hid in your heart, you didn't show them to me. You didn't reveal them to me. You let my life go on. You shielded me. You protected me. You watched over me. And I did everything right in your eyes. And all of a sudden, calamity comes. Boom. And you knew it. You knew it was going to happen. You hid these things in your heart. He's talking to the Father. You hid these things in your heart. I know that this was your purpose. It had to be his purpose. This is no accident. It was for your purpose. Again, Job's not going against him, but he's going with him. He's working on this. If I sin, you watch me and do not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am guilty, woe to me. If I am in the right, I cannot lift up my head, for I am filled with disgrace, and look on my affliction. And were my head lifted up, you would hunt me like a lion and again work wonders against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your vexation towards me. You bring fresh troops against me. Why did you bring me out from the womb? Would that I had died before any eye had seen me. He's going through a tough time, right? And whereas though I had not been carried from the womb to the grave, are not my days few? And he knows his days are few. Think about it. Our earthly lives here right now in our sinful nature is very short. I'm like, I think about it all the time. Like, right, I'm a strong 44. Honey, you are 41. You're doing good. And I said, when I look at Brother Jesse and Sister Gloria and Brother Preston and Sister Lois, I'm like, wow, look, they're up in age and they're doing great. I said, this makes me really should appreciate and be stronger and ready to get up and go, right? Because they're ready to get up and go. It's an encouragement to me. So as a part of the body, it encourages me to get up and go. But are not my days few? then cease and leave me alone, that I may find a little cheer before I go, and I shall not return to the land of darkness and deep shadow. What kind of land he's living in? Deep darkness and of shadow. The land of gloom like thick darkness, like deep shadow without order, where light is as thick darkness. The same thing that's going on today was going on then, right? It's like deep darkness and gloom. The kingdom's not here. It's deep darkness and gloom. So we happen to be the light and the salt of the earth in this deep darkness and gloom. If I lived in Job's time back then and seen what he was going through and I was a brother, I tell you what, he'd be a great salt and light in my life. I don't know about you, but I'd be like really encouraged after everything he went through, and he made it. And then the Father says that. We don't have time to go into all the whole book of Job, but I'm going to go to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Y'all go home when y'all get a chance and sit down and just let it play. If you got audio or if you can read well, pick up every piece and detail of Job's life. There's a lot of important things to hear in there. Job chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter, and my hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him." You ever have days where it feels like he's not there, and you just start weeping, and you say, "Oh." Say, "Oh, I know you had those days. I have those days." It's like everything's going fabulous for days. It's encouraging. It's awesome. I'm having a great time with the Father. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where are you at? What's going on? I don't feel nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing. It's so empty and gloomy today. Today's just not my greatest day. Things aren't happening right. Things ain't going good. And I'm looking for you, and I don't feel, I don't hear anything. Like yesterday, it was incredible for worship. Where is it? Well, here he is. He's like, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power?" And he answers, because he knows. Job knows God. "No, he would pay attention to me." He would pay attention to me. He knows Yahweh would. He's not hearing him right now. Remember, because later on in the book, it says, then God speaks and says, "Who is this who darkens my counsel with words?" Remember? He's letting him go on and talk. He's feeling it out. He's not having a good time. He's got all his friends against him with using God. How many of us go out there with our godly friends and have them come against us with things that we believe now and that we know? So here he is. "There, an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take when he has tried me." When he has what? "Tried me, I shall come out as gold." Be careful how y'all sing those songs like tonight about the fire. You want the fire? You really want the fire? You may not like the fire. You looking for the fire? Be refined as gold. The very thing that you might not want come against you might come around the corner there. "When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." He's enduring. Remember the word endure? He's enduring. He's getting closer to the Father. Rather, he's feeling it right now and not, I don't know, but he's going through a tough time. He doesn't hear him. He's looking for him. He's not in the back. He's not in the front. But he knows what he's like. He knows he's his judge. I treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. He loves the Father's. I was talking about earlier whenever you make a mistake. I've had times where I made mistakes, where it was at dinner time, and I didn't eat yet. And I was so grieved and troubled with myself, I didn't feel like eating. I just walked away and put my head down, asking for forgiveness. And I didn't even eat. I don't want to eat. I don't eat no food. I want to get fixed from what I did. Because without him, I tell him that. When I wake up in the morning, I say, you know me, Father. Without you, I'm dust. I'm done. I'll never come back from the grave if I continue on the path that I'm on. Or the thing I said, the thing I did. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me. And many such things are in his mind. They're in there. Therefore, I'm terrified at his presence. And Moses said the same thing. I'm in fear, afraid because of what I see and know. Of who he is. When I consider I'm in dread of him, God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face. In verse 1 of chapter 24, why are not times of judgment kept by the Almighty? And why do those who know him never see his days? Some move landmarks, they seize flocks and pastures. I'm not going to get into the rest of that one. But in the end, you know what happens with Job. And you'll find in there when you read through there, I don't remember what verse it was, about him saying, I wish my words were inscribed in a book and inscribed on the tablets of stone. And like I said, they are. We're reading them. And he was faithful. And therefore God can trust him because he was faithful. And that was the whole thing in reading about Job. He was one of those that talked about in Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Job was one of those. He was faithful. He was faithful and God can trust him. And so in the end, God even said, his words, I would listen to. So I go back because God approved his words and pay attention to his words. There's a lot of details in there that we need to pay attention to. I want to go to Psalms chapter 145. Psalms 145. I put this in here a couple of days ago, and I don't even remember this. I bet y'all remember when I start reading it. Psalms 145. I will extol thee, my Elohim, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. See right there where it says, one generation shall praise thy works to another, from Job all the way to Yeshua, and from Yeshua to Paul, and then from Paul to us, and then from us to the next generation, right? Generation to generation, shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And then, like Brother Herman said, then we become those cloud of witnesses today and then from today forward. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Yahweh is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Yahweh, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Look at that. And talk about the kingdom twice in here. Thy kingdom, there's a third time, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Yahweh upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Yahweh is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all his works. Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in what? In truth. In truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Yahweh preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yahweh, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Psalms 145 is pretty incredible. Talks about the kingdom. Talks about the generations. Talks about the wicked. And so this is our instructions. Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures, remember the word endure, endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. John 6:27. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 1, verse 12. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding. No, that was 1 Peter 1, 25. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 10 through 13. We was talking about this in the Torah portion. This one right here stuck out. I mean, it stuck out to me. I think about when we've had our trials in the past, and I had mine. And I was blaming everybody else, and I had no fault. And then I finally got it shown to me that I was at fault. It wasn't everybody else. And to go ahead and accept that kind of relates to this proverb. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Some people get told over and over and over and over and they still won't turn. It's like 100 blows to a fool. And yet it also says an evil man seeks only rebellion. And a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Can you imagine a mama bear robbed of her cubs and she catches you? What you think that bear is going to do to us? That's a person that's caught up in their folly when they will not listen. You keep telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them, they will not take the rebuke. It's like meeting a she-bear robbed of her cubs. Remember we talked about sin? You get caught up in the own cords of your sin. If anyone returns evil for good, you know, a lot of times we think about why people are in such a disaster in some of the areas of their lives. Or maybe even us way back when we was lost in the world, or we knew better and doing things that we weren't supposed to be doing. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. I remember Brother Herman telling me one time, he said, boy, there were some people that said some bad stuff about some godly people. I remember that one time. Shame on them, because it's going to be bad. Because when you read words like that, it says, if anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. That's like a fixed nail. That's a done deal. That person maybe have a sickness or something wrong with them that they can't shake off because it's there until repentance comes. We can pray it away all we want to. We can put them on the prayer list. It ain't going to let loose till it goes through the way Yahweh says it's supposed to go through, right? There's some things that just will not pass. It's up to the individual to repent. Repentance has to come. Second Thessalonians chapter 10. Verses 10, yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 and 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So that's how it comes about, right? The same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied herein. We have an altar whereof that they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for the sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. If you read in the ESV, it talks about he was put outside the camp. And he suffered for us outside the camp. And so let us do the same thing. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Elohim continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Elohim is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So all our leaders, the ones who are over us, to appreciate and communicate and do those things. So going through the process and looking at different ones in the Bible that helps us when we're going through the process. What it's all about. It's about a relationship. A relationship with the Father, right? our relationship, going through the process, and proving that we're being faithful and trusting in Him rather than any of those things that tries to cling to us. It proves that we're clinging to those things more than we're clinging to Him. And it's going to find us out. And so Job did a very good job. And he's got a lot of words in there that we need to listen to. Does anybody else have anything? Everybody made it back safely from Indiana?